Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Thursday evening service in South Carolina. Let's praise and worship the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for another day to serve you. Thank you for dying for wretches like us, Lord. Imperfect people serving a perfect God. Pray that you would draw us close to you, Lord, that we may truly learn to serve you, to humble ourselves, to submit to you and obey your word and the people that you have set over us. May your truth go forward and may we have ears to hear and receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening, everyone. I am going to go to Hebrews 13:7. Start on 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, I know in the natural man, being in obedience and hearing correction and exhortation is never, to the natural man, a pleasant thing. But with our mind, we can choose to serve the Lord. We can choose to agree with it and receive it, whether we even understand it or not. I know for myself, and I am not a good judge of where I am spiritually. I could think I'm on the mark and serving the Lord in a thing, and I could be completely off. I could think I'm completely off on a thing, and I'm actually hitting the mark. I'm not a good judge of where I am spiritually. And it's a blessing to have these people over us to see the bigger picture, to show me where I'm off, because frankly, a lot of times I don't see it. I mean, does the Lord sometimes correct me throughout my day? Of course. But if they see the bigger picture, and that's a blessing if I choose to receive it, if I choose to agree with it and submit to it and humble myself. Brad and I were watching a movie, and I don't even remember the name of it. I just remember a scene that actually had me thinking on this particular verse. It was was a CIA movie, and there was a sniper for the CIA, and they were in another country, and he was up in a building, and he had his eye on the target and was ready to shoot. He had a superior officer on the ground who could see the bigger picture and was going to let him know if something came up, because he couldn't see. All he could see was the target. That was it. And he was about to take the shot, or getting close to, I guess, and the superior officer saw something, and he told him, he said, "Do not shoot. I repeat, do not shoot." And the guy shot anyway. He actually thought about it for a few seconds, and he shot anyway. But he couldn't see the bigger picture. He only could see through that tiny little target. And what actually wound up happening is the superior on the ground, superior officer, saw a little boy running right to what was going to run right in front of the target. So that's why he told him not to shoot. But the sniper couldn't see that. He couldn't see the bigger picture. But because he was not obedient to that, there was casualties. There was a casualty from that one choice of disobedience. That little boy died. He lost his life. It affected his parents. The sniper was affected by it. The superior officer was affected by it. One choice of not listening and not being obedient. And I was really thinking about that and looking and thinking about that in my own life and how important it is to be obedient to the people who can see the bigger picture. And there's a trust in the Lord. It's so easy to drift into, well, what if they're wrong? Or all of these, or I don't see that, so therefore how can it be so? Well, that's leaning on my own understanding. That's what the sniper did. He leaned on his own understanding, and because he couldn't see that bigger picture, and because he couldn't see that little boy, he shot anyway, and that little boy died. And it's so easy in the natural to drift to that. But if I do that, if you do that, if we lean on our own understanding, we don't submit, we don't humble ourselves and be obedient to those over us who watch for our souls, there may be casualties. Who's it going to affect? I mean, obviously this movie was physical, but I'm talking spiritually. Maybe it will cost somebody their physical life, but I'm talking spiritual. Who's it going to affect? If I'm not obedient, I don't humble myself, and I don't submit. It could affect my children, my family, others around me. One decision. Now, praise God, his grace is sufficient and great, because as I move forward in these things, am I going to fall? Of course. Is his grace sufficient? Amen. But there has to be a fight to put that old man and that old judgment off and to trust the Lord and the authorities over us. Kat and I, it's interesting, as I was thinking about this throughout the week, there was, Kat and I went to the Colleton Museum, and one of the things that really struck me in this museum was in the Confederate, they had a Confederacy booth. And we were looking at all the different things in there. It was explaining what they are. And there were these weird glasses, spectacles, they called them. And they were all frosted up around the entire glass except for one little tiny hole in the middle. That was the only part that was clear. It was like smaller than a dime. And they were called sniper glasses. And the sniper, it was really cool because it blocked out all the distractions around him so that he could solely focus on the target that he had before him. And I thought, you know, that's how I need to be. I need to walk around with these blinders on to all the distractions and the things around me that get my focus off the Lord. Because if my focus is on him, I'm not going to be moved by situations. I'm not going to be stumbling and moving all over the place. And I was thinking about the sniper in the movie. He didn't go wrong. He wasn't wrong because he couldn't see the whole picture. That was his job. His job was to see that tiny one target. He wasn't wrong for that. It was his job. Where we went wrong is when the person on the ground saw the bigger picture and told him what to do. He didn't do it. It's a right thing to have your eyes set on the Lord and to not be moved by things around you. But when other people around you see the bigger picture and bring it to you, you need to hear it, receive it, agree with it. Say, yes, Lord, and fight with all that you have to keep those blinders on and hold on to what they tell you. I don't care what your flesh says. I don't care what other people say. You put those blinders on and you put your focus on the Lord and you put your focus on what they told you to do and you fight to hold on to it and you watch the Lord move. I'm done.
For the past few days, Psalm 115 has been running through my head. And oddly enough, it's not the words in Psalm 15, but the word, Psalm 115. And I looked it up, and I'll read it to you guys. There's some good stuff there. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. That
They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Not unto us be the glory, but unto him. Everything that we should do as unto the Lord. We hear that, we know that, we've read that. And it's so that in our obedience and our submission, we ourselves can draw near to him and we can draw others near to him. And we need to make sure that our mouths speak for him, that which comes out of our mouth is of him, that we hear what those in authority over us and his ministers have to say, what we hear what he has to say. I was talking with someone earlier this week about, I don't know if this is a man thing, but it's a woman thing, where you get this inner monologue and it just doesn't shut up. And you run through all these different scenarios and all these things that are going on in your life. And you're like, would you just shut up? And I had that really bad. Really bad. So bad that inner monologue. You sit there and you don't hear anything but your stupid voice talking in your head constantly. You with me? Okay. And there's no room for you to hear that still, quiet voice because yours won't shut up and it's your flesh. And I remember when I was actually getting ready to be baptized. Steve's having a conversation with me, and he said something in that conversation that really pissed me off. I didn't hear anything that came after, nor did I think about anything else for a week. And Scott said, what is wrong with you? And I started going on. He said, you're still on that? Seriously? Said, yeah. Get over it. Okay. So at that point, I had to realize that that was my flesh. That was sin. That was the devil trying to get the best of me. And I needed to tell it to shut up and I needed to stop listening to it. And I mean, seriously, it would start and I'd be like, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. Shut up. And it was like that multiple times, an hour, for multiple days, for weeks, probably for a couple months, until one day I realized I didn't hear anything. I was like, whew, there's silence in there. Oh, thank you. And I could hear him because I wasn't constantly hearing myself and my own stupidity. And it brings me to think of where it says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. It doesn't say anything about our flesh. We have to put our flesh down and we have to take control of our heart and our soul and our mind. And we have to take control over those things to serve him with those things and be mindful of that and pay attention and make sure that we are indeed serving him with those things and loving him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And when we receive that correction from our authorities, we're not sitting there going, I can't believe they said that. Why are they saying that? That's just not true. I can't believe that's not true. Because you're not hearing anything else they say. And that just doesn't benefit anyone. It's not good for you, and they're wasting their time. It's like Lisa, how is it? That they may do it with joy and not with grief. They don't have to take the time that they do to be in prayer for us, to speak with us, to listen to us, and give us guidance. But they do, because they love the Lord and they want to serve him. And they love us, and they want to see us succeed and prosper and be fruitful in the Lord. So we need to make sure that we hear and do our very best, call on the Lord and implement what we are told so that they can continue to do it with joy and not with grief.
Going to see a urologist in the morning. I brought a show and tell, and you can look at it to see why it is I'm going to see the urologist in the morning. But there's, for anybody that's not aware, there's a roughly 3 by 2 1/4 by 1 1/4 mass on my bladder, so it's causing massive other problems, and I'm expecting they're going to take it out quickly, but I don't know exactly when yet, so we'll wait to get word from the urologist to see exactly what they want to do. Now, remember them which have rule over you, spoken into you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of your conversation. It always interests me that he had to say that. But he had to say that because we have a tendency not to remember these things. In fact, the quicker we can get out of their presence, we start forgetting just as quick as we can. And we don't receive it with joy like we should. And Melanie. Men have it too.
I don't want to presume.
And it's how you learn the meaning of 2 Corinthians 10. started with three. For the though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For weapons are a warfare not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's why that's there. That's a stronghold of the enemy. And the enemy is always trying to get you fed full of unbelief. And you have to take authority over that. Cast all those thoughts out. They're just there to derail you. And that, there was a time I wouldn't have understood any of that. But I've experienced it enough that I know the word here is true. And that's the only way that you're going to stay in a straight and narrow way that is His way. The way, the truth, and the life that nobody comes to the Father without. I don't know that I really have anything else. But I just thought I'd share my thoughts on those two verses.
Good evening, everybody. Y'all talked on a few things. And, you know, Lisa, you were mentioning about the guy and the focusing on the guy. And, that was his job, was to see the target. But also his job was also to take that information from the other guy to know what's going on out there. You know, see, you got two people right there having two different separate jobs. Now, if either one of those guys were not doing their job and not paying attention, and let's even say it did work out, for an example, he did listen, nothing happened, and boom, you know what I'm saying? But even if either one of them, the guy that was on the ground not doing his part, wasn't able to communicate to the guy that was shooting at that time, he wouldn't have been able to give him accurate information and tell him when the green light was on and when the red light was on. And both had a part. Now, it's the same thing within the body. It's the same thing within the body. One of the things that it says, and see, it's an important thing because, look, it's not about that person and it's not about the other person. No, it was about the task at hand and them doing their part. And it really didn't matter what one guy was like or the other guy was like. No, it was about them doing their job. And see, that's all that mattered. So it is in the body. So it is in a body. But it also says here in Ephesians, and I kind of wanted to hit this point because, and if I can find it, Ephesians 5. Verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's what you would say, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In the fear of God. Knowing the body, knowing how it works, and understanding the parts that it plays. And it's very important when you're called to his body to do that which is you are called to do. I mean, if all of a sudden I'm changing tires, man, and I tell my right arm to go grab the tire iron, and it doesn't move, what good am I? I'm not any good at all. See, I need that other part, that arm, to do what I told it to do so I can get the job done, right? Same within the body. Same within the body. And see what happens is a lot of people go out and they start going in presumption in a lot of things, in a lot of areas. And see, that's why it's so important to have the disciples over you and you to bring to your disciples the thing that you're struggling with, the things that you're going through, the things that you handled, the things you're about to handle, or if you handled something, bring that to them of how you handled it. Because it's always good to have that light shined on those things. Because where do people get off? People get off all the time. They might start off right. They accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then they go right, completely right hand. They're so far off, they're in left field. They go so far right, they end up in left field. And why? It's because of presumption. You know, you said you were talking something interesting. You think you'll be right in a situation, Lisa, and what you come to find out is that you're dead wrong in a situation. And then you think you're dead wrong in a situation. Then you go and you find out that you were actually dead right in the situation. And see, it's an amazing thing how that works. It's an amazing thing how that works. But that's why you get those things checked out. That's why you bring those things to your authorities. That's why you bring those things to the light. So you can be reproved of those things that are not of him. You can have that light shine in your heart so you can get shed of those things that keep you going forward in the Lord and doing your part in the body. Your part in the body. Yeah, because see, all of you, I just talked about, I forget which it was last Thursday, I was talking about you guys being called to be a minister, every single one of you. Now, when you're called to be a minister, that means basically saying you're called to be a part of his body. Minister is a servant. You're a servant unto the Lord. You know, and when it's that time when you just soak up the good things of the Lord and you don't turn around and serve him with those good things, you become just like that guy who digs that hole in the ground and puts the talent in the dirt. What use are you for him? He gives you all the good things, all the things that you need all around him, and then you just take those good things and you go and you put them down in the dirt. What good does it do? See, it was a testimony. It's supposed to be a testimony that others can be a part of the body and join the fight and have eternal life and salvation. See, that's what it's meant for, is to glorify God and how good he is. And how the gospel is for anybody that would receive it. See, that's what it's for. But what do you do with it? See, you had the children of Israel, and they walked, and they had that great powers and signs and wonders come across them. They wandered around in the desert for 40 years and they never took the promised land. So what good did it do them? Didn't do them any good. Not only that, they were just ungrateful and they never glorified God in any of the things. It was like the Lord moved mightily and powerfully in their lives and they turned around and said, "Oh, I forgot about that." I mean, don't we do the same when we come across the things that are troubling to us? And then we go, "Oh my goodness, it's a nightmare. It's going to consume me. It's going to take me down." And then it's just that little reminder of what the Lord's done for you. And you go, "Oh, I forgot about that." I mean, see, because that unbelief. You know, Paul, you're talking about casting every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ and casting those things down. And those doubts and those things that keep you from the Lord. And it creeps in so easily. So easily, man. I'm facing a situation that's a stressful situation and a lot going on and everything seeming upside down. And man, the work of the Lord has done in your life, it's so easily that you forget those things. It's so easy. I mean, those things aren't even on your radar, man. I mean, it could have just happened yesterday. Some troubling situation comes today and I'll be forgotten. I mean, I look at the children of Israel and I can't dare to go and go, "Those idiots." I mean, because if I go, "Those idiots," I'll be calling myself, "You idiot." I mean, it's the truth. I guess I can say, "You idiots." And I'm in the same boat. I'm just as much an idiot. But see, we're told to cast those things down, right? We've been instructed to doubt your doubts, right? And not only that, man, you're struggling with the situation no matter what it is. You got ministers all around you can talk to. I mean, the Lord's provided a good thing. You know, you're talking about submitting unto your authorities. And I forget, there it was 13:7, Hebrews 13:7. I guess I can look it up, but I'm not. But you're talking about, see, that's not, you know, see, when you're walking in pride and disobedience, and when it's all about you, you look at that as like a slap down, man. I mean, you look at that like, who the heck does that person think he is or she is? Don't you? I know, I've been there. Are you, I mean, look, I ain't nobody's, you know, I'm not going to say the word. Doormat. Doormat, thank you. That'd be the best one. I'm not nobody's doormat. And, you know, you look at that, and it's like, and the Lord's going, "I'm not making you a doormat. I'm trying to provide for you." And you turn around and say, "I won't have it." Is not that any different than the children of Israel? Here's a land flowing with milk and honey. "Those are giants. They're going to kill us. I won't have it." It's the same thing. It's the same thing. So when we can actually just grasp this concept that God is good and Him is light and there's no darkness at all, I mean, what can stop you from going forward in Him? Nothing. See, His victory is at hand. And see, what happens is when we come to the Lord, what ends up happening is that we got so much stuff that is wrong with us. Then when those things start to get shown to us, we're like, "Oh my gosh, I don't like this." And what do they usually, what I have done, I have to say, is I referred darkness rather than light. I ran from it. And here's the Lord trying to love me, set me free, and I go running back to bondage, back to Egypt, because I was more comfortable. It about killed me. And see, the same thing goes with us. And see, when these things represent itself in ourselves that are not of Him, man, it's just another thing to cast down and get shed of. See, it might not feel too good when that light shines on my dark heart. It might not feel good at all, but man, all it is just another opportunity to set me free. It's a good thing. See, our flesh can't stand it. It's the enemy of God. It's full of pride and iniquity. Hates God. And see, what we do is, see, we bring ourselves back to kind of Cain in this situation. See, we're accepted by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's it. And see, that's a hard concept for us a lot of times to find. Is it just solely on Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross? Yes! Oh my goodness. Doesn't the scripture say, without me you can do what? Nothing! What does that mean of you? You have nothing to offer! Okay, what happens is we go to the Lord and dipty-doo, and we think we're hot, we think we're special, we think we got a lot to offer, and we go and we offer these things that was like sacrifice of Cain up to the Lord, and what ends up happening is He goes, well, that ain't no good. And see, He rejects that which you are offering, and then you get offended because the thing that you thought was so great and so mighty and so awesome, man, is not anything awesome at all. It's actually rejected of the Lord. And then we go, okay. And then it just goes to show you that that's just another high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Well, praise God. And then we get shed of that thing that we thought was so good, so great, and so wonderful, and recognize that, man, Lord, I have nothing. Lord, I am nothing. Well, good. And then He can start working with you. And then you go about your way. And there's this another thing that pops up inside you, and you think that thing is so great and so awesome, so wonderful. And you go offer this thing up and say, man, look at that, Lord, isn't that awesome? He goes, no. But I see, I thought that was a good thing, a right thing. No, it's not. Get shed of that, man. That thing is killing you. And what happens? We walk away offended, being, you know, like hopeless feeling, because we thought that which we were offering was some great, high, awesome thing. And we come to find out that it was garbage. It was garbage. And it was actually killing you. But see, we hold these things so high and so dear to us, man. We need to just come down and just come down to the knowledge of truth. And see, the knowledge of truth is humbleness. Recognizing that the key of knowledge is humbleness. And recognizing that, man, you have nothing to offer. Nothing. And see, when you recognize that, man, how can you help so go to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. A sinner, Lord, I don't got nothing. And then when you can let your hands empty of that thing that you hold so great and so dear and so awesome, He says, I know. But what I give you is far better. My son. My son. And see, when you offer that unto the Father, that's accepted. And see, that covers you. And that sacrifice suffices. So, what keeps you from going forward in the Lord then? Because the gift is free, and it's not based on what you personally have to offer. Are you capabilities or incapabilities or any of those things? They don't matter. It's nothing. It's but dung. That's what Paul said. All those things he attained, he said he counted it up, but what? For dung. Nothing. Nothing at all. And so what keeps you walking from the victory in Jesus Christ? It should be nothing. I mean, see, this is good news. I mean, praise God, hallelujah. You mean, Lord, I have nothing to offer and there's no good thing within me. And what you give me is far greater. And I can go walk in your victory because you were victorious. He goes, yes, you can. Well, praise God. That means any of us can attain it. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't help but get excited because I know what a bonehead I am and how I don't have anything to offer and I'm not super intelligent. I didn't even know what Melanie was talking about when she said monologue. Praise God. So there should be nothing that keeps you from grabbing hold of the Lord except your own pride and what you hold dear in your heart. Man, let those things go. Cast those things down. I don't care how many years you've been hanging on to it. Reckon to it as dung as Paul did and grab the prize that he has for you. The high calling. Because it's there for each and every single one of you. And the good thing is not based on us. It's based on Him. See, it's when we can grab a hold on that, it doesn't matter. None of it matters. And you know that the Lord is good. And it doesn't matter who's discipling you. It doesn't matter who has the rule over you. Because He's good and He's able to work out anything good, any good thing for you. Because He's awesome. So let's grab a hold of that gift and let's go forward in His victory. Amen? I'm done.
a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. Step by step we're moving forward, little by little taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon, stronghold come tumbling down and down and down and down. We want to see
evening.